You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, man, for hour number three. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, we cover down solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is that time of the week. We have this thing we do on Wednesday afternoons at 4 o'clock. We call it the Grand Council. And it's where I get together with two of my brethren in talk radio who have been doing it longer than I have, and they bring a good deal to the conversation. We ping each other with questions. We just sort of see how we come out on them. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. We still love each other when it's over. So let me just go ahead and I'll call the roll first of all. I'll start with Jeff Poor from the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile. Also the executive editor at 1819 News. Jeff Poor, is you here?
I am present.
You are indeed, and I appreciate it. Switching over to the guy who apparently just logged in. That'd be Dale Jackson from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting up in Huntsville, and also writing for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you here?
Oh, I've been here for like 2.5 hours.
Just oh, wow. Go ahead and beat your boots. All right, so let's. I tell you what, I pronounce a quorum. Boomer, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! All right. The Grand Council being convened, I will just go ahead and say, Dale Jackson, take the first question. What you got?
Well, I'll tell you this. I just need to know from you guys. Is it...
Did we lose him? Did he just drop off?
Oh, man.
God.
Is it possible?
Hang on, Dale.
I keep getting bumped off. Don't worry. I'm going to fight through this. Don't worry.
All right, start your question again, dadgummit, and learn how to use your technology. What do you got?
Yeah, I'll try my best to make this thing connect. All right, so here's my question. Is it possible that Donald Trump will ever survive this relentless, nasty onslaught from Ron DeSantis where he says things like, I might have done a little better than COVID and fired Fauci, and I'm not going to have any drama. Is it possible that Donald Trump can withstand these withering attacks and his fans? Will there be some sort of mass suicide if they continue?
Yeah. Jeff, you're first. What you got?
The Trump fan base is a pretty touchy group. So, I you know, Trump himself, I am confident he'll survive that. But I'm more worried about Trump supporters. I think we need to be on the watch.
I just find that the temperature goes up way too quick. So Trump can say anything he wants to about anybody, but when someone says something back about him, that ain't right. And I'll be honest with you, I envision this as Trump says something nasty in a mean tweet about one of his fellow Republicans at 3:30 in the morning, and then that person actually lashes back. I envision that Trump actually gets a kick out of it. I envision that he's like, that was a good one. They said that was pretty cool. But his followers never seem to allow that to happen. And so if it's got to be good for the goose and the gander. Dale, your question, what are you thinking?
I think you're giving Trump way too much credit to pretend that he likes this kind of stuff. Donald Trump's son wrote a book about these guys. It was called Triggered. And I think that Donald Trump Jr. has found himself to be triggered over this. I think you guys need to toughen up. You're up against somebody that might actually push back this time, and you're not going to like it, but don't act like big, giant babies about it.
And I will say, though, DeSantis was very coy. His you know, whereas Donald Trump kind of comes out with these, like, schoolyard kind of insults, I feel like DeSantis's were, like, kind of understated and coy and almost, like, under your skin before you realized they were there.
Yeah, and you know what else I really disliked about it? They were like about issues and differences as opposed to the spelling of the man's name. What is he doing? I don't call him Strump or something. That's the solid part.
All right. Next question, Jeff. What do you got?
So I'm coming to you from today from the State House, actually. If you listen, you can hear in the background a faint Roger Smitherman filibustering.
Oh, nice.
Some appointment or something.
I'm having flashbacks.
Yeah, so... Yeah, it's like PTSD or something.
Yeah.
But something brought to my attention, in KIV's budget proposal, the Education Trust Fund, $30 million for a water park in Montgomery. How do you guys feel about that?
Oh, I've not seen that. You're telling me that the education budget has $30 million for a freaking water park in Montgomery. Really?
Yeah, so they've been working on this for a while. And I guess, surprise, as with all of these things government does, they under-budgeted, underfunded, and now they're having to go with their palms out for money. And apparently it made it into the governor's budget proposal. So now we're going to blow it up at 1819 News here shortly. But aren't we starting to lose a little confidence here in the governor with putting that nonsense in the Education Trust Fund?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I look at that. That's maddening. So here we are. We're like, I almost feel like, you know, Oliver Twist saying, please, sir, can we have some more, begging for some measurable tax relief. And yet all we're getting is, I saw this opportunity to bail out some people that did a really bad job at the local level trying to build a freaking water park, and I'm going to pretend that's an education expense and tuck it away in the back corner of my budget. Yeah, I hope y'all blow that thing wide open, man. Dale?
Now, hold on one second. hold on.
Here we go. Dale wants him a water park.
Is it possible that there are some STEM opportunities at this water park where you could possibly conduct some experiments and things of that nature?
The only STEM is the bacteria growing in the splash pad after it's been there for 6 months.
I'm just trying to tell you that there's an opportunity here for education. And maybe we should just be a little more open-minded. Oh, my God, no, they've screwed this up. If they had some reasoning for it, they should have told everyone and not made somebody find it and show them. Yeah, this is a bad idea.
Jeff, fill in the blanks there. What else you know about it?
Well, I know that it's a Mayor Reed project here, and he's really been wanting to do it. But I would say this, Senator, this may be the first budget in a long time where the governor submits it to the legislature and they just throw it in the trash and start from scratch.
Well, they should. I mean, she's got umpteen million dollars more, like a 7% increase just for her own office, for the executive. I mean, I look at this and think, what is happening?
She has spent every penny. There's other things you're going to hit on in this thing. But holy cow, like the $30 million for a water park. Did we not learn our lesson from American Adventures over in West Jefferson County? Did we not learn a lesson from these things? And we're just doing the same silliness again.
Here's the other thing too, Jeff. In not so distant past, we would have these horrible budgets with no surpluses. And the Education Trust Fund always had, you know, Alabama is one of those archaic states that still does split budgeting. Thank you, Teachers Union. But the education budget would be flush with cash, and yet the general fund had no money to do anything. But God forbid you should transfer dollars over from one budget to another. No, not real appropriation. You can't do that. And now they're going to spend money on a water park because they're so flush with cash that nobody cares. That's just unbelievable. And I hope the legislature rips this thing to pieces and starts over, like you said. All right.
Yeah, that's the way it's looking to me. This is toast.
Well, it needs to be toast. And it's almost as if Governor Ivey doesn't care. Or then again, maybe somebody else is doing their job for her. But the reality is, for that to come out of her office is just wrong. All right, let me jump on something here. You guys reported this morning on 1819. I just had Terry Lathan, former chair of the Alabama Republican Party, on my show. She just kicked off a new group she calls ROAM, which stands for Republicans on a Mission. And their whole job, and they've got like 200 members already, they're going to show up at the State House and encourage and exhort and implore legislators to pass school choice, including the Price Act. What do you think about this movement? What do you think about the possibilities of school choice this year? Dale Jackson, you first.
Well, I like that more and more people are talking about it. It's growing a little bit here and there, but call me skeptical. I'm optimistic, but skeptical. I just think the AEA is still too powerful, and I just don't think we're quite there yet.
AEA can't be too powerful if they get a splash pad built out of their education budget, but there's that. What do you think, Jeff? Rome, the Rome group from Terry Lathan.
The Rome group, I mean, it's good. I don't like this bill that my friend Larry Stutz and Ernie Arbour have. I think you gotta work with more within the body. But let's face it, guys. You know, if y'all really think school choice needs to happen, it needs to start at the governor's office. Probably she needs to come up with a proposal. Is there any reason to think that she'll be the one that does that?
Yeah, well, no, and she's already kind of avoided that topic in her State of the State. And I tell you, I had an article, I didn't even get to it in my stack of stuff for the day. Governor of Texas just went out and led a school choice rally on the steps of his state house, and we can't even get a bill out of committee in our state house right now. Just different world, man, different world. All right, fellas, go ahead.
Real quick, that's the thing. It takes a Sarah Sanders or it takes a strong governor to get it done, and I don't think that's the – and there's no exception to this with Alabama, especially Alabama.
Well, the good thing we got going on, and Dale said it, is it does feel like there's more momentum this year. It does feel like more civic engagement, and I'm hoping at the very least that they go down there and put the shame on some of them who are trying to keep this thing at bay on behalf of the teachers' union lackeys. All right, let's take a break right now. Boomer, round one of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson from 770 AM 92.5 FM and Yellowhammer News, and little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We're back for round two in just a minute. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. So, hey, back with the Grand Council right now. Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile and also the executive editor for 1819 News. And Dale Jackson from up yonder in Huntsville at 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, and writing for Yellowhammer News. So, Dale Jackson, round two, first question, what you got?
John Archibald at AL.com is complaining that a guy was denied parole after he died, when I think he would be less of a threat than ever, but he was still not allowed out, and apparently this is a moral outrage that there was a paperwork snafu, and Archibald demands that they bring every person up for parole before them and look them in the eye before they tell these prisoners to go back to prison. Yet, missing from the article was what this guy was in jail for, number one. And number two, why he deserved to get out before he died. Are we messing up with our parole issue here? Are we keeping too many people in prison because we're not letting as many out as we used to? Is there a real problem here? And is it anything that less than $2 billion will fix?
I don't know where to begin to address this. I guess I'll start off with the fact that it's AL.com. And last night I was cracking up when Jeff Poor posted something on his Twitter feed. AL.com was hosting a live Facebook feed of queer midwife.
Queer midwife and lactation specialist.
That's yes. Because yes.
I don't mind what's funny about that. I think that's a completely reasonable thing to do.
I feel certain that's true. So, you know, to answer your go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you got it.
Well,
what you got?
Why is the institutional left in the state so hell bent on the partisan parole board? I mean, of all the things, I get it. They aren't exactly a very forgiving board, but you don't have the people that Jimmy Spencer killed in Marshall County blood on their hands. You know, right? The previous parole board. People wanted reform. They wanted to crack down, and you know, this might be a bit of an overreaction. But you know, life kind of goes on, and I can't figure out why this is the hill to die on.
It's not, but John Archibald usually likes to pick a thing and just kind of, you know, ruminate on it like a cow bringing its cud back up.
John Archibald, as John Archibald been in Alabama in the last 5 years? I mean, I'm very skeptical of this.
Now,
because I think he just looks at social media and see whatever Josh Boone or Kyle Whitmire complain about and just pin something kind of folksy.
Well, now be careful because he is a Pulitzer Prize winner. You know that, don't you? But anyway, the reality.
I would
say this, Dale, in answer to some portion of your extremely long question, I would just go ahead and say that. No, I mean, the idea that that we're going to focus on a guy who died in prison who probably needed to be there, why he didn't get parole after he died, I don't understand that the narrative at all. It's just literally trying to find a problem to fit the solution, it sounds like. What if you got any details you want to fill in the blanks on, I'll take them.
No, that was basically it.
Okay.
It just sounds like he died, and then they went and they didn't know he had died before they looked at the paperwork, and they're like, we're not letting this guy out. Boom, stay in jail. Oh, wait, you're dead? Okay, stay there.
Okay. Next question, Jeff. What do you got?
Does the United States need to go to war in Mexico over the seized port of Vulcan materials? It is peculiar why this happened, and I know the delegations are really beating up on the Mexican government for this. But we've heard nothing from the Biden administration, or really many other people. What do you make of this? Why does this seem like it should be a much bigger story?
Well, this morning I saw something as I was leaving the house. Fox was on the TV, and they made a comment that this will be something that strains Biden's foreign policy. And I thought, the assumption is he has a foreign policy. I think you got multi layers of issues here. First of all, Mexico is a half failed state, and secondly, you've got an Alabama based major manufacturing and employer that is just having its assets seized. And then third, you've got an administration doing nothing. It's a recipe for disaster. We better do some sanctions. We better do some serious negotiation. Find out if Antony Blinken has a pair, and then we'll go from there. But, Dale, real quick, what you got?
Allow me to offer the devil's advocate here. Maybe this is actually a good thing.
Tell me.
That if you take your money and you put it in Mexico instead of America, oh, well. Guess you really gambled and lost. Sorry. But there's not much we're going to do about it. Good luck.
The only problem with that is it was a rock quarry with a port to ship out what they were digging out of the ground in Mexico and bringing back to us. So
I know. My point is this. I don't think we're actually going to do much about this because Joe Biden is too busy worrying about how many Mexicans we can allow into the country to deal with any Mexicans that are actually in the country. So I wouldn't worry about that.
I agree with that. Jeff, your own question with about 10 seconds. What do you think?
I mean, they got to do something, right? We can't, because what's next if this is allowed.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Hey, I'll close out with this one. Yesterday afternoon, I had House Minority Leader and Democrat Anthony Daniels on my show, and he was talking about more tax cuts and conservative policy than I've heard Republicans talk about lately. Your thoughts, Dale?
Alabama's most conservative House member is Anthony Daniels?
That's what it felt like.
That's what it looks like sometimes.
It does. Jeff?
Yeah, hopefully it inspires Republicans to respond accordingly and start acting like Republicans.
Oh, man. Well put, both of you. Appreciate your time. That closes it out. That was a quick round, it felt like. But, yeah, the Grand Council, Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, The Jeff Poor Show, and executive editor from 1819 News, and Dale Jackson at 770 AM, 92.5 FM up yonder in Huntsville, and also, by the way, writing for Yellowhammer News, and me. All right, y'all stay tuned. We'll come right back for the final half hour. We will be right back.